Well, our scripture reading this morning, kind of an unusual Christmas passage, is Luke 5, verses 12 to 16. And if you're looking on your pew Bible, it's on page 1023, 1023. And we're again, Luke 5, 12 to 16. So Luke 5, beginning in verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is probably the only Christmas sermon you're going to hear this year that takes as its theme the topic of leprosy. But in focusing on this, I think the true significance of Christmas comes through, and you couldn't really find a better place to talk about the meaning of Christ's life and his ministry. It gives really a powerful image of what his birth and life are all about. But before we get into it, let's pray a little bit. Lord, we thank you for Christmas, a time of hope when light comes in the world in the darkness and eternal life. And Lord, may you speak now, Lord. The power that healed this leper, Lord, may that power be at work in us, mind, body, and soul this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I want to give a little background on leprosy, and forgive me, it's kind of a gruesome topic, but it's important. There were three types of leprosy in biblical times, and you don't have to take notes on these, by the way. The first type was called nodular or tubercular leprosy. And in this type of leprosy, the body would break out with ulcers, and it gave off this foul discharge and odor, and the person's face began to lose its form. They began to take on an animal-like appearance. And eventually, as one author puts it, the sufferer became utterly repulsive to himself and to others. And this type of leprosy usually lasts about 9 years, and then unfortunately your mind starts to go and you slip into a coma. And eventually you die from it. It's obviously a horrible disease. The second type of leprosy is called anesthetic leprosy. And in this type, the person loses feelings in their extremities, their hands and their feet, largely. And the person's hands become deformed, their muscles weaken. And because their body parts can no longer feel pain or sensation, they easily damage their parts. They're not aware of their touching heat or hitting them against something, and fingers and toes are lost, and eventually sometimes a whole hand or foot. As one author puts it, it is a kind of terrible progressive death of the body. But the worst type of leprosy is the third type, which combines these two types, and unfortunately it's the most common type, what we commonly call leprosy. So obviously this was a horrible disease. It was kind of a living death, as the person who contracted was basically sentenced to a prison of death and decay and pain. And what made matters worse, this living death actually operated like actual death in the social sphere, in that you were totally cut off from your past life. You're as good as dead to the people who knew you. In a very real sense, it removed the person from the land of the living, and the person who contracted leprosy had to live as an outcast outside the city. They weren't allowed to go in. They could no longer associate with their families or friends. In fact, they couldn't even go into the temple to worship God. And so it was bad enough you felt cut off from society. You also felt cut off from God. You could only talk to other lepers. It was against the law for anyone to address you who was not a leper. And so you were cut off from pretty much everything you had known prior to that. Even the leper's dress spoke of their death. According to Leviticus 13, The leper was required to go around with clothes torn in their hand. Well, it wouldn't affect me, but the hair unkempt. So that people could see them coming from a distance so that they would know to avoid them. As Alfred Edersheim points out, the leper's dress with his unkempt hair and torn clothes is much like that of a mourner at a funeral. But in this case, the funeral was his own. And that's really powerful, isn't it? Person looked like they're going to a funeral, but it's actually their funeral they're attending. And the leper, as you probably know, had to yell unclean, unclean when they saw somebody who was not a leper coming. They had to get out of their way. And they had to cover part of their face as they did it. So naturally, it was great shame and disgrace in being a leper. You lost your humanity. You lost your personhood. And so that kind of added to the misery. People would often recoil in horror and dread when they saw a leper, and they'd run away from you, like you were a wild animal or something. Some would even throw stones at lepers to drive them away. So as painful as the disease itself was, this social isolation rejection was almost as bad. Lepers were often also counted as cursed by God. And often the lepers themselves believed it. Why would they believe otherwise, right? They were physically dying, and they were socially dead. They loathed themselves, and they were loathed by others. And so it seemed like they had, been sentenced by God to a living death. So this is the kind of man who approached Jesus on this day and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole again. This is the man whom Jesus touched and said, I am willing. I will make you clean. And he freed him from this terrible living death that he was experiencing. When Jesus said to this man, I am willing, he was really showing us in that process what his life and ministry were all about. Here was the one who would touch lepers, who would come among the lepers, dwell among them, not so they could catch their leprosy, but so they could heal them of it. Here was the perfect one without spot or blemish, who would join the leper colony here on earth so he could take away our leper spots, our sins. He wouldn't run away from us. Though he was uninfected himself, he wouldn't run away from us. He would embrace us. He would touch us, even in all our ugliness and ruin and despair. By saying, I am willing to this poor, wretched leper, he was showing us what he is all about. Really, it was his whole life story in small print. Jesus would not leave us in our plight or leave us without care. The Heavenly Father had said to Jesus, will you join them in their humanity and their human limitations? And Jesus said, I am willing. I will. And so he who had built the starry skies, who laid the foundation of the earth, he joined us down here on earth and took on all the limitations, even as a baby. He took on human flesh. Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies, as the hymn writer puts it. The one who had never known any want or need came down and took on those limitations for our sake. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, became a baby and knew what it was to hunger and thirst and feel want and need. The Father also said to the Son, Son, will you join them in their fallen world, in their environment of sin? And the Son again had said, I am willing, I will. I will enter into their fallen, sinful world. I'll dwell among sinful people from day to day. I'll enter that world of sorrow and sin and pain, though I don't have to. And so the sinless Son of God, who had never known anything but the holiness and glory of heaven, came into this fallen world as one of us. Just as written, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Lord, the Father also said to the Son one more time, will you even join them in their death? And again, the Son said, not my will, but thine be done. Yes, I am willing. I will do it. Though spotless and without blemish himself, he would join himself to our flesh and take upon himself our leper's spots so we could be made whole and clean through him. And so God made him who had no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus rubs shoulders with lepers, with sinful men and women like us, not to contract the disease, but to take it away from us. And he was doing that day. And that's really what his life and ministry are all about. For why does a healthy medical missionary go live among the lepers in a leper colony if it's not to take away their leper spots and make them well? Sacred infant, all divine, what a tender love was thine, thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this. Somebody's on top of the world, they're in medical school, and they go to a distant land and they go to a leper colony to save people. That's what Jesus did. Ever since the fall of man, people have been saying, Lord, we're living in this living death here, but if you're willing, you can make us whole again. And the message of Christmas is, yes, I will, I'm willing. I'll take away your leper spots. God has been saying that ever since to adulterers and prostitutes, like Lisa sang, to thieves and drunkards, to drug dealers, to violent and godless men and women, even to mass murderers. And no one who has ever come to Jesus said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. No one's ever been disappointed who's done that. It doesn't matter how great your sins are. Maybe you think, I'm too much of a leper. I'm too guilty. I'm too simple. No, you're not. None of us deserves his mercy, but he gives it to all who come. Jesus showed that in another passage, right from the start of his public ministry. Again, he gave us an indication in small print of who he was, what his ministry was all about. And then that was when he was baptized by John the Baptist at the beginning of his public ministry. And John the Baptist had very much the same reaction you and I probably would have if Jesus came to us and said, I want you to baptize me. You want me to baptize you? Shouldn't it be the other way around? You don't have any sins to be washed from. I do. You don't have to be put to death for any sins you committed. You didn't commit any. I do. And you don't have to rise again, but I do. You don't have to be made a new person. And Jesus said, that's right, John, you're right. I don't have any sins to be washed away. I don't have to die for sins because I've never committed any or never will. But I want to show people something about my ministry. And so he wanted to show us that he was saying, I'm the one who, though he doesn't have to die for sin, will die for sins anyway. I'm the one who, even though he doesn't have to die and be buried under the water, so to speak, and come back, I will do it anyway, not because of my sins, but because of yours. I have come to save. And the Father bore witness to that, you know, right after Jesus was raised from the water. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Father was pleased that the Son was willing to give his life to save us. And the Holy Spirit was pleased as well because he came down in the form of a dove to prepare him for that ministry. So the whole Trinity was there bearing witness to that. So right from the very start at his baptism, Jesus was showing us who he was, that here's the one who doesn't have to die, who will, not for, and doesn't have to be washed, but will for our sake and not for his own. Well, there's one other observation I'd like to make this morning from this passage before leaving it, and that is Jesus' tender love to touch this man with his hand to make him whole in order to take away his leper's spots, because Jesus didn't have to touch the guy physically, did he? He could have just said a word, you're healed, you're clean. Yet Jesus made a point of reaching out and touching this person. Why was that? Well, as we've already considered, you know, here was a man who was used to being shunned by people. He was used to have people run away from him as an object of horror and dread. He had lost the warm embrace of his wife and children and friends, and he probably expected he would never feel the touch of a healthy hand on him again. But Jesus reached out and touched him anyway. He reached out and he showed him compassion as a human being. He gave him back his humanity and his dignity. He treated him like a person rather than an animal. One author has put it well. He said, when Jesus reached out and touched this man with compassion, the cure was already half completed. Can you imagine the love that flowed through this man as Jesus touched him? He hadn't been touched by anybody healthy in a long time. I love you. I care about you. And Jesus does that for us too. Yeah. Probably many of you have seen the movie Ben-Hur. If not, I would highly recommend it. It's an excellent movie. In that movie, the lead character is a Jewish man. His name is Judah Ben-Hur. And he's falsely accused of treason against Rome, and he's taken from Israel, his homeland, as a slave, and he's on a Roman war galley ship. It looks like he'll never see home or his family again. But through a series of events, Judah Ben-Hur manages to gain his freedom. He returns to Israel. But when he returns, his heart is broken because he learns that his sister and his mother, who were also arrested, falsely accused and arrested, they died. And he thinks he'll never see them again. But he later learns that that, in fact, was not the case. His mother and his sister are still alive. But tragically, while they were in prison, they contracted leprosy. And so they've been living outside the city secretly as lepers, unknown to Ben-Hur, to Judah. Now, Judah's wife, Esther, knew about this. But she swore not to tell him because they begged. The sister and mom said, please don't tell Judah that we're here. It's better that you remember us as we were rather than as we are now. However, one day, Judah hears that they're alive, and he follows his wife Esther to the leper colony. And the reason Esther has gone that day to see the mother, her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law is that Esther's been listening to the teachings of this new preacher in town named Jesus of Nazareth. And she's seen his power to heal as well. So she's going to the leper colony to go get her mother-in-law and sister-in-law and bring them to Jesus so that they can be healed. And so she goes, Esther goes to the leper colony. She tries to talk to her mother-in-law, Miriam, and her sister-in-law, Tisra, to convince them to come. But they're afraid to go. Miriam is doubtful. She's afraid to get her hopes up because she's lost all hope. And besides, she explains that her daughter Tisra is deep in the leper's cave and she's dying and she can't possibly make it. They can't make it there. So that's the dilemma. Miriam and Tisra just don't have the strength of heart to hope in themselves any longer to go for healing. But the turning point comes when Esther goes up and hugs her mother-in-law. Come on, I'll take you. And then Judah, Ben-Hur, he hasn't heard Jesus, but he's getting the point. So he goes up, he hugs his mom, and then he goes into the cave in the midst of the lepers, and his sister's going, get away, get away. But he goes in, he gives her a big hug, he picks her up, and they take them to Jesus. And long story short, Jesus heals them from their disease. But it all began when Judah and his wife Esther reached out in love and touched two lepers, joined themselves to them, and extended to them some milk of human kindness that they had not experienced in a long, long time. And of course, that's what Christmas is all about too, isn't it? The life of Jesus. Not only that he's willing to reach out and touch us in all our ugliness and infirmity and take away our leper spot, but he calls us to go and do the same. To find people who are outcast, who are downtrodden, and to reach out to them with compassion and love and show them that dignity. Are there some quote-unquote lepers in your life you can reach out to and touch and show some love and compassion to this week, this Christmas season? People who perhaps live as outcasts who are cut off from society in isolation. Maybe they're bedridden or they're very elderly. Are there people like that you can visit or help? Or maybe there's some people who are difficult to be around. They're lepers in that sense, right? They're not the easiest people to spend time with. Sometimes, you know, they might not get a hug or a kind word a whole year, you know. But God wants us to go to those people and be compassionate, to touch them. Sometimes people are shunned in our society as well, and God wants us to show them kindness. Because again, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the sinless Son of God coming down to a sinful world like this to dwell among the lepers and to take away their leper spots. But it's also about his calling us to go and do the same. And he says to me, you know, when the Father said, "Are you willing?" He said, "I am willing." And now he says to you and me, "Are you willing?" And that's what he wants us to do in this Christmas season. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a strange Christmas passage. But Lord, it really shows who you are, Lord, that even though our souls are ugly, they're covered with leper spots because of our sins, Lord, you didn't run away from us. You didn't shun us. You came to us and you touched us. You showed us compassion. You died on the cross to take away our sins so we could make whole. And help us to spread this good news to others during this Christmas season to be those same type of people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.